And of course, Katrina Rasbold is with us, the Bruja, the witch. We're going to take some calls in a moment. Her book is called Crossroads of Conjure. And I definitely want to find out more about taking dirt out of a cemetery when we come right back. Welcome back to Coast to Coast and our phone calls with Katrina Rasbold. We'll be talking about curses, candles, you name it, we've got it. And we'll take your calls in a moment. But first, I've got to figure out why she takes dirt out of a cemetery. Okay, how do you do this? Why do you do it? How do you pick the person who has passed on to take that person's dirt? Tell me about this.
So you remember that you talked about the crazy people and the evil people that die?
Yeah.
Don't take their dirt.
Don't take their dirt.
Don't take their dirt. In fact, that's a great way to curse somebody, is to take the dirt of a known psychotic person or person who's suffering a mental break or a really evil person and put that dirt around.
It's just that. It's the dirt that's like right by the tombstone or something, right?
Well, it depends. You take it from their head if you want to affect the person's thoughts. You take it from their hand, the area of the hands, if you want to affect their deeds. If you take it from the feet, if you want to affect where they're going to go.
And you're assuming you're standing over the casket, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Looking down at it, yes.
So if you well, let me ask you the twofold question then. If you take dirt from a evil person, what happens?
It conveys the energy, and this is where I was going with the answer to your question before about the evil people. It conveys the energy of that spirit onto the other person.
Huh. And if you take dirt from a nice person, a loving person,
Think about the conditions of the grave. If you are in the grave, you are presumably protected. Nobody's going to bother you. It's calm. It's peaceful. And so traditionally, graveyard dirt is for creating that protection and that peacefulness.
In all the years I've done this program, Katrina, in all the years I've done other programs prior to, this is the first time I've ever heard about graveyard dirt and how it affects people.
George, my work here is done then. I gave you a first.
You gave me a first. Don't hang up. We still have an hour of calls to go. But that's remarkable.
So what I do is we have a 19th century graveyard up here in Grizzly Flats because this is a gold rush town.
Okay.
And the last person who was buried there in 2007. So there's quite an array of dates there. And so I go in there at midnight. I have a relationship with the dead people that are there. They know me. And they will only let me in there at night on this night, once a year. So I go in there. I say, okay, who wants to play? And little orbs will come up over the graves who want to be involved. I go to them with my handy-dandy Walmart bag and my trowel, and I take a few scoops, as many as they say I can take, and then I smooth it over as though I was never there. I leave silver dimes as a thank you and move on to the next person.
Now, what do you do with the dirt when your task is done?
My husband is a gold miner, and so he has these different classifiers that take out the rocks and that sort of thing. So I sift and sift and sift and sift and sift this stuff, and then I've got it on hand for when I need it for spell work.
And when you're finished with the spells, do you throw the dirt away, or is that a curse all by itself?
Well, one thing I can do is with the bigger pieces that I've sifted out, I put it next to my front door, because that conveys the peace and the safety into my home. But I just keep the graveyard dirt for when I'm going to need it.
What if you make a mistake and grab the dirt of someone who, like Abby Normal?
Well, that's why you don't let the amateurs go in and collect the dirt.
Good point. They come back and say, hey, yeah, this was from a great, fun person, and it turned out to be from some mass murderer.
Marty Feldman, yeah.
You know, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That could happen.
It could happen. And it has happened, but not to me.
And would it clearly affect the curse or the spell?
Observably.
Wow.
You can absolutely see the change.
Now, does the word curse all by itself connotate something evil? Are there good curses?
Not even a little bit.
No, I didn't think so. There are good spells, but bad curses.
But, you know, you got to look at the difference between crossing, hexing, and cursing. Cursing is usually long term, and it can be multi-generational.
And its motive is what? To hurt somebody?
Just nothing but revenge. Just getting even with somebody or creating a negative outcome for someone. Hexing, on the other hand, is usually very brief and instantaneous and spontaneous and directed toward a particular person, it's very personal. And a crossing is often just incidental. It's just something where you've sent a negative energy towards somebody without even half thinking about it.
We've got a huge prisoner population listenership to this program, Katrina, so they're listening to you right now. And half of them probably should be released because of, petty crimes that they committed. And I'm sure they've seen the light. Some of them are lifetime offenders. They're going to be there for the rest of their life for some things that they did, which was not good at all. Mm-hmm. Can you forgive if somebody hurt a member of your family, maybe even killed them, God forbid, could you forgive them? And I'm not talking about an accident where, I can forgive a guy who or a woman who is drunk and gets into a car crash. I'm not happy about it or anything, and they should be penalized and punished. But I can forgive a mistake. To me, that's a mistake. But, someone who goes and kills somebody in a murder, mm-hmm. I'm not sure I can forgive them if they hurt a family member. Can you?
Well, I think to really think about that, and this is one of the things I work with my clients a lot on, because the ability to forgive or not forgive is often what tethers us to another person. The idea of what forgiveness is really convoluted in our society because people equate it with some sort of condoning of what that person did. They even think that it has to involve the person who was the perpetrator, when really it's about you and yourself and releasing the ability of that person to have a tie on you.
True.
And so for me to be able to forgive somebody, I mean, I've got a lot of people you could hurt. Like I said, I've got 6 children, got a husband I adore, apprentices I love. There are a lot of ways that somebody could get to me. And so fortunately, I have not had to put my theory to the test.
But are you saying you could forgive them if they did something heinous?
I'm saying that I would do that so that they had no control over me.
Wow. You're a bigger person than I am for that. That's
but
the one thing I can't get over.
Not because they deserve it.
Interesting.
And what's interesting when you mention people who are in prisons and serving life sentences, brujeria is a Catholic-based process. And so there's a huge attachment to atonement. There's a huge attachment to confession. And many of the people that I work with can't go to a priest and offer confession mm-hmm. and receive any type of atonement. And so they go to the Bruja instead. And so I get a lot of criminals that come to me, gang members and people who have committed heinous crimes and confess them to me because they know the sanctity of what we call the platica, which is the unburdening, that I'm not going to tell anybody.
Are they seriously apologetic?
Sometimes and sometimes not. Often if they're making the trouble to come to me, they want some type of atonement. There was one gentleman that, I use the word loosely, but he beat his wife to death. And he said, I didn't intend to. I just meant to correct her the way my father told me to. And for some reason, the investigators had closed the case. They didn't pursue the husband. And he was just devastated that he had killed his wife when he was trying to, quote-unquote, correct her. And he wanted something to make him hurt. He wanted something to atone for this and said, okay, I said, here's what you got to do. And I usually try to reach out to my spirit guides to channel down something that's going to fit the crime. And so I said, you have to get her name tattooed on your arm so that every time you look at your arm, you see her. And I'm going to curse you. So here I was cursing him. I'm going to curse you to see her face in the face of every woman.
Interesting. Let's take some calls here. Thomas in La Jolla, California, to get things started. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very
Katrina,
welcome.
I really appreciate and like your energy.
Well, thank
and,
you.
And Katrina, my understanding, I live here in the San Diego area, so it's right across the border from Mexico. And my Mexican friends talk about brujos and brujas. And my understanding is a brujo is a man of power, mm-hmm. and a bruja is a woman of power. The key word there is power. And the other thing is my understanding is brujos and brujas work with allies. Not quite the same as your spirit guides, mm-hmm. but an ally might be, well, a plant in the nature world, like a tree, or it might be an animal like a coyote or a crow or a deer, or it might be like a power location. Maybe you have a place on a mountaintop or whatever where you go and it becomes a facilitator of power in your aura, in your field, and in your understanding, just like the power animals or the power plants, etc. And so I was wondering if you would speak about your personal experience with power animals, power plants, and particularly power locations that empower you so that you can do your job as a bruja in an appropriate way.
Absolutely, Thomas. That's a wonderful perspective you got. And if you've talked to brujas and brujos who are actually doing the work, we call it, you know, doing the sacred work, you know that they are not usually well-received within the community. They are the deep, dark secret. They are reviled sometimes. And so what happens is that you're the last resort for people. They won't talk to you on the street, but they come to you in the dark of night to solve their problems. And from the position of power, what I can say is that part of, if you want to call it the code of the bruja, or the universal feeling amongst brujas and brujos, is that this is a living universe of power, and that there is power in everything. And everything is here for our usage and for our benefit. And so absolutely, brujas and brujos avail themselves of that power wherever it comes to them, and often with animals in particular, and places. It's something that is led to you or something that you are led to. So your belief is that the ally has shown you that this is where you need to be to work this particular act. Now, one of my favorite places to work back in the old days when the dinosaurs were roaming and the earth was cooling and I was young was around the Victorville area. There were all of these huge power lines, and we would have these giant towers that connected them, and we would actually go under the towers to work because the power was really extreme there.
That's right.
Desert. The desert has incredible power vortexes, and I love working there for that. Otherwise, my preference is to be up here in the mountains where I live. And so each bruja or brujo attunes to a certain energy that awakens them. For some people, it's the ocean. For some people, it's the mountain. For some people, it's the desert.
We are with Katrina Rasbold. Go ahead, Katrina. You wanted to finish that up?
Nah, that's all I got.
You got it. Okay. Monique's with us in Sunland, California. Hi, Monique. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Miss Rasbold.
Hi.
I hope that you'll take your mom to contact in the desert, George. I just want to put that out.
Oh, she won't travel that far, but thanks for the thought.
Maybe on a UFO. So my question is, earlier you were talking about how some energy workers will put out curses for no apparent reasons or revenge. Do you have a code amongst your community of energy workers where if you know of a person like this, you're going to hold them accountable? Because how else can somebody like that be held accountable? You can't take them to court. You can't take them to law enforcement. They would, you know, think you're loony maybe. Although I want to put it out there, I don't know why, because there are a lot of law enforcer precincts that use psychics to find out different cases. But that's my question.
You know, we don't hold one another accountable as brujas and brujos as a rule. Because of, I mentioned earlier the idea of, is an act justified or is it not justified? And we have to consider that when a client comes to us and says, this is happening and this is happening and this is what I feel like I want to do. And each bruja or brujo is going to address that client and their situation in a different way as far as what they need. One brujo might say, well, let's do it. Let's go after them. We're going to curse them because they've really wronged you. Another one might say, you know, let's just shield and ground this energy and move on. And so because of the subjectivity of how a client is going to be addressed, we really just respect whatever that energy worker tends to do. Now, what I will tell you is that when someone's throwing a curse, it's usually not a professional energy worker. It's usually some amateur who's trying to pretend like they're an energy worker and get in there and move energies they don't understand, and they create all kinds of problems for the legitimate energy workers.
That's dangerous, though, isn't it?
It is, and it's giving the baby the gun, and it's annoying, and it happens more frequently than I'd really like to deal with.
Let's go to Steve in Royal Oak, Michigan. Welcome to the program, Stephen.
George, first of all, thank you for having your show.
Thank you.
And thank you for your service with the United States Navy.
Thank you, Steve.
You're a true salty, even though you weren't captain of the ship, right?
That's right, exactly.
Okay, I grew up about 25 miles. I'm your age. I'll be 70 in a couple weeks from your home port. I live in Royal Oak, Michigan.
Yes, okay? You do. Yep, know it well.
Yep. Okay. Yes, and Katrina, I'm sorry if I didn't recognize and acknowledge you, okay? Here's my question.
Okay.
Can you have an inanimate object like a vehicle that has an energy that transfers from vehicle?
We lost it right at the end.
Oh, that was going to be a good one,
It
too.
Was going to be a Christine question, wasn't it?
It was. And, you know, electronic devices absolutely have an energy to them, and they can react to the energy of a person or to a situation. And so cars would definitely fall into that category. And lots of people will actually burn out lights and create static on radios and interact with electricity. And you can see it and feel it.
You sure can.
Cars, absolutely.
Have you heard of stories of people who can walk by street lights and they go on or off?
I did that. It was really exciting.
You do that?
I don't do that now. I used to do that when I was younger, and I somehow lost that ability to do that. But my husband, in fact, I've had two husbands that were military. I actually spent more time as a military wife than either of my husbands spent in the military. And so in base housing, of course, you have this long series of streetlights, and I used to go running out in base housing, and when I would run, the lights would go off behind me.
All the way.
Really cool.
I love it. First-time caller, Shantae in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, is with us. Hi, Shantae.
Hi there.
Good to have you with us. Go ahead.
Hi. I just had a question. See, I'm Native American, and I got shaman background. My father was shaman, grandfather, and I just have a history of like blockages, like per se people trying to interfere and keep me from moving forward. And I was wondering if you had any suggestions on
how to simply stop that. And these would be individuals, I am sure, Katrina, that are humans who are trying to interrupt her flow of living.
And that is so common. And as I said, sometimes it's even inadvertent. What you're going to do is this. Get an egg. An egg in brujeria is considered to be a living cell. You're going to blow on it really hard, conveying your breath of life into the egg, and get someone who cares about you to rub it all over your body.
Like an egg yolk thing when you open it up?
Oh, no. Leave it in the shell.
Oh, look.
Leave it in the shell. I like where your mind's going, though. No, leave it in the shell.
No, I'm in the gutter on that one.
And just all over the body, just rubbing that egg, because the theory is this, that once you convey your breath of life into the egg, that it becomes a part of you. And so what we call the maldades, or the bad things, the badnesses, cannot distinguish between you and the egg, and so we can pull those blockages and any crossings that you have into the egg and dispose of it.
That's fantastic. We're going to come back and take final calls next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Next hour, we'll continue our supernatural theme as we talk about life between heaven and earth. George Anderson joins me, so make sure you're part of the program. And when we come back in a moment with Katrina Rasbold, we will take final phone calls as we talk about her work as a witch. I'm going to call her a good witch, quite frankly. And welcome back to Coast. Katrina Rasbold with us, of course. Her book is called Crossroads of Conjure, and we'll take your final calls in just a moment here on Coast to Coast. I'm getting emails, Katrina, from people who want me to rub egg yolks on them. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, see, you started something there. And I do have to clarify something. I'm not a good witch. I'm a great witch.
Well, you know what? I'll agree with that. I agree in your heartwarming, too, which is important. Have you ever been in a situation, though, that you couldn't get out of and you wanted to?
This interview. I'm kidding.
Thanks.
No, I'm teasing.
Click.
Ouch. You know, I have. And sometimes one of the hardest things about being a Bruja when you're working in a professional capacity is you must enter into the engagement with the client from complete neutrality. And I'm telling you, sometimes they're coming in there telling you things where you're just wanting to climb out of your skin to not hear any more about what they're saying. And I would say that's the closest I've really come to being in a wishing I had an escape hatch situation is some of the revelations that people are giving you when they want help.
How many people have you trained in brujería to do this?
I'm pretty selective about who I take, but I would say going through the full training, probably 22.
22 people. And so have they become brujas?
Many of them have, yes, absolutely. Because if you go through the full training with me, which is a year long, it's kind of like a hazing because I put you through a lot of work and a lot of experiences. And if you make it that far, you're going to go the distance.
Back to the phones. David in New Mexico to get us started this segment. Hey, David.
Hey, folks.
Hi there.
Well, first of all, George, I think for George's purposes, the egg white you might find works a little better. that's just for George. Let me give you a little narration. There's about five or six different things that you have that you'll notice in my little narration from what you've talked about tonight that enter into this. And at the end of it, I'd like to just give you or like you to give me whatever feedback comes to your mind. Going way back, I was a self-trained massage practitioner, and I later went to school. I went to a really good school, and they didn't teach me anything that I hadn't already taught myself. And I've had clients that I worked on that. They would spontaneously, unsolicited, tell me that they considered me to be a healer, even though I didn't think of myself that way or advertise as such. And then fast forward many years, the central theme here is the disappearance of my small children out of my life. And their mother had considered herself to be a witch, albeit a white witch. She was going into a business one day, and a man came out of that business, and I've told this story to George before, but he immediately stomped on a baby pigeon that was on the ground that couldn't was out of the nest, couldn't fly. She, I guess in your terminology, hexed him for something bad to happen, and she went inside the business, and a few minutes later, somebody came in saying there was a crash outside, an ambulance was there. This guy, when he left the parking lot and on his motorcycle, was immediately hit by a vehicle and taken to the hospital in some unknown condition. And a couple of years after that, we had had some kids, and the relationships deteriorate. She left me. A month later, she was living with the next guy who became the stepfather and did me wrong several different ways in court, flat out told some lies, and I haven't seen my children in 12 years. Through the power of money paid to lawyers in the courts telling mistruths and such. And one day it occurred to me that what was good for the goose might be good for the gander. And so I envisioned something very specific. I envisioned a rock, something hard, coming through the windshield of a vehicle and taking out some people who did me wrong.
Jeez,
and,
dude.
Without hurting my children. And within a week, a 5-pound chunk of steel came off of a truck ahead of this guy and hit his windshield. It didn't go through the windshield. It smashed it, and it didn't go through the windshield and didn't hurt him. And on that same day, he had all of his professional tools stolen out of his truck, and so that happened. And you had mentioned something about George had talked about forgiveness. You know, how do I forgive people that trafficked my children? And George and the two of you had talked about. If you carry stuff like that, you can see it on people's faces, and it can destroy the rest of their life. And you know, but how do you forgive for something like this, and how do you let go of your children? And that's the story in a nutshell. And do you have any feedback for me?
Interesting. That was almost like a curse, Katrina.
Well, coast to coast listeners, that's how it's done. right there.
For good or bad, that's how it's done.
For better or worse, that's how it's done. Now, can you remind me of your name, dear?
His name's David.
David, okay. I got so busy listening to your story, it went right out of my head. David, regarding your work as a massage person, one of the reasons that this comes so naturally to you and the reason that you took the class and found that you already knew this stuff is that you have been a healer in a past life and you have been a brujo in a past life, and that's why you were able to curse this person so easily. And what I will say is that in terms of forgiveness, forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean that you've got to give up on having your kids. Or that's not the scope of it. It's just about the ability of these people who have wronged you to have a hold over you. That's what you want to let go of with the forgiveness, is their ability to affect your quality of life in some way beyond the obvious of having your children. So that's the feedback I would think of right off the bat for that.
All right. Thank you, David. Interesting take there. Let's go to Andy in Santa Rosa, California. Andy, go ahead.
Hi, George. First off, I got to make a confession to you. The popular guest you had a long time ago who said that I may or may not come forward about the corporate takeover and of America and the spirit I would remind everybody of, that was Red Elk.
Yes. God rest his soul.
Yeah, I was just kind of embarrassed. I didn't want to be like, hey, look at me. But something with the guests and you both mentioned about, like, you know, mass murderers being in heaven and other guests thinking that everything's fine and whatnot. And our guest tonight was saying, like, well, you know, she didn't know. I would like to lay it to rest that, you know, that other guest, she wasn't completely wrong.
Yeah, and she was the one who said that, you know, even the most despicable human, their soul goes into the same kind of bliss as anybody else.
I gotta give that a solid no.
Go ahead, Andy.
She was right and she was wrong. See, the deal is, like, because we were talking about Hitler. Let's just say who he was.
Right.
We're talking about Hitler. All right. Now, as of right now, yeah, he is in heaven. She was right about that. But you see, judgment hasn't come yet. That's the deal. And when you look at the laws, as someone who is a murderer, who is, and I'm not talking about a crime of passion or an accident or a mistake or anything, I'm talking about someone who lays and waits and is just a low-down scoundrel and ends innocent life. That person, after due process here, they're to be executed. That's the deal, not 20 years later. And then they go to another trial where they stand in front of the Father. And not just the father, but also the victim of that crime, who has a lot of influence on the father's decision. So in the case of Adolf Hitler, how many people does he have there?
Oh, who are going to be millions. Millions.
So his chances are slim. Every single one of them would have to forgive him.
But see, now, I'm thinking of this in terms of Earth time. Some 70 years have gone by since he died. Why wait so long? Why isn't the guy punished instantly when he died?
Well, the deal is first comes the millennium, the return of Christ, okay, the day of the Lord, and then after that, and there will be judgment there. But then after the 1,000 years of his reign, which is the millennium, is a great time of teaching. All right, and people who don't make it to the good side, they don't overcome in this world. There, it's not like there's a second chance, but there might be a second chance. If you have a family member, for example, who didn't make it, and let's say you did, Christ will allow you to cross the gulf, if you would, and say, you know, try to work with them. And then you have to...
And bring them along.
Yeah, bring them along. Then you have to go to a process of cleansing yourself before you enter back into the presence of Christ.
All right, let's get Katrina's reaction to that, Andy. Go ahead, Katrina.
George, that's a whole other show.
It really is.
Boy, I could. And the elaboration that I would go into for that is just—it's more than what we can do in the next 10 minutes or so.
Well, what's your take, though, on?
I just have a completely different concept of
afterlife. Good and bad, evil.
I even wrote another book on my theory on afterlife, which, you know, I'm not even completely sold on my own theory. I just, I believe that we have an energy that we emit during life, and that energy remains after we're gone. And where we go afterwards is depending on what we did in this life. I just, that's where I am on it. And, you know, the caller is very, very passionate about their beliefs, very convinced.
Oh, of course.
Beliefs. And I'm just not. I'm not even convinced of my own beliefs because I haven't been there. So, you know, I could elaborate on it more so, but it would just be spitballing.
But you do believe there's a hell for evil.
I don't necessarily think it's a hell, but I believe that we make our hell when we're here on Earth. I believe that we create where we're going.
Interesting take. Next up, let's go to Donald in Seattle, Washington. Donald, take it away.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good, Don. Thank you.
Long-time listener. Love you guys. Katrina, I have a question for you. I've been the last 2.5 years... I've had the worst luck of my life. Everything has been impacted, my career, my family, my finances, everything. And I was wondering if you could give a little insight, if you can see anything potentially to help me and my family to kind of lift whatever dark cloud's been following.
Do you think you were cursed, Donald? You think you were cursed?
I honestly do, George. I honestly do. I've come from a very successful IT background, to all of a sudden screeching halt, health issues, and just stop.
Any idea who might have cursed you?
You know, being in the IT industry and having competing patents and intellectual properties and this and that, I've come across a lot of people. I've dealt with a lot of petty people. I've been involved with the paranormal as well. So it could be a myriad of things. I do not know. I'm just at a loss, and anytime I feel like I can make a stride forward, just recently, a month ago, I had a very promising interview come up with a very large company here in Seattle, and a week later, I got inflicted with lesions all over my face.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
And had to go to the hospital, and it was a whole thing.
Did you get offered the job, and you just couldn't take it because of this, or what happened?
I couldn't follow up. It was a second interview, and it was a panel interview with a bunch of executives.
Oh, God. You couldn't go there with lesions all over your face.
No, I mean, they were, like, oozing. It was horrible, George. Awful.
What do you think, Katrina?
You know, George, this is classic, because when you think about somebody being cursed, it's very easy to say things like, well, they've just had a run of bad luck. You know, they've just had a series of illnesses, or they've just had things gone on.
But that wears off.
Exactly. And then you get these people that are seriously in a downward spiral, that they are working hard to get out of it, and they just keep getting slapped down every time they try. That's what's indicative of a curse, and especially the lesions, indicative of a curse. And what I would use for this is we have something called a reversing candle. It's a red and black candle, and the idea is that it reverses the energy of a situation and sends it in the other direction. And plus, you know, eggs are your friend. But this is something that would require a little bit more work than just saying rub yourself with an egg. So I'd like it if you would find me on one of my websites and we could continue the conversation more so, because I would absolutely concur.
Something's happening to him. Something's happening.
Something's going on there, absolutely.
You know, for the last 2 years and his life changed so dramatically.
And that's what you're looking for, is a dramatic change that's not of their making. Not just a misfortune, my wife left me and it created this series of events. I'm talking about something that just comes out of the blue, slams into you, and it just doesn't stop. It's like every time you try to get up, you're getting hit by a hammer.
How do you know that you're not the one that has cast this upon yourself, as opposed to some outsider whom you think has cast a curse on you?
The bottom line is, it doesn't matter, because we're going to treat it exactly the same way.
True.
In either case, we're going to attempt to ground that energy and reverse it to a positive direction. The trick with a self-inflicted curse, if you want to call it that, is that we're also going to try to find out what type of insecurity inside is causing the trigger.
Just amazing. Let's go to Susan in Hawaii. Welcome to the program. Susan, only have a minute left, but go for it.
Yes, hi. I have two questions. One.
We won't have time for two, just one.
Okay. And let's skip to the, I'm on the South Point. I'm in a vortex, and I'm on raw land with 30 dogs, large dogs. And it happens a couple times every now and then. I get all these voices in this vortex. The dogs are going off the Richter for the last hour. I can barely hear the show. And I'm wondering if I can't find anything. And I'm wondering if it's that they can see spirits. If you've had any.
Are these positive or negative voices you hear?
You know that mumbling, like all this mumbling? I'll get into a vortex.
Okay, so you just basically hear things. Only have 30 seconds left, Katrina. What's happening to her?
And go. She is experiencing an overlapping of realms or possibly a replaying of something that's happened before. I have a friend named Shannon McLaren who works, she owns SacramentoHealingTree.com, and she's a medium. She talks about this all the time. Your dogs are picking up on exactly what's there. Tune in. You might be able to hear it. They might be trying to tell you.
These animals are very sensitive. Katrina, thank you for being on the program. We'd like to keep you as a regular guest. The book is called Crossroads of Conjure. Her website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. The supernatural continues when we come back.